the words which I trust the Lord will enable me to make a few further remarks, will be found in Psalm 27, the 4th and the 5th verses. Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. How Satan seeks to confuse all those who are seeking the truth. How he brings them into consideration of many things, and how those who are seeking the way to Zion may not be aware of the power and the craft of the adversary. If he can confuse, he seeks to overthrow the work of the Lord. And if ever there was a day where confusion exists, it is the day in which we live. Especially in the churches, there are those who tell us we must do this. Others tell us we must do that. Some say we must belong to this particular section or some particular denomination. And how our minds can become so confused. And then perhaps how Satan will point out, especially to the young, how dull, how uninteresting the services of the Lord's house are, and that surely this is not true worship, and how he may even tempt you to seek something which will be more beneficial to your flesh. And so we need to be very careful of those things which confuse us, ever bearing in mind that confusion is the devil and not of the Lord. Now you see, David here was brought to realize that there was only one thing, or if we leave out the italics, one have I desired of the Lord. And it is good when we can see the Lord in our worship. There is much which will entertain the flesh elsewhere, but we don't have to come to the house of God for that. I say, if you want entertainment for the flesh, well then you don't have to come to the house of God for it. But if you want something for your soul, if you want to know your soul standing for eternity, it's good to come to the house of God and to inquire in the temple of the Lord with regard to your standing. And also to inquire whether the Lord has a favour toward you. So David was brought to see this one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now there are many various interpretations one could put to this word with regard to church membership, with regard to the ordinances of the Lord's house. But the most important thing of all, you see, we can be a member of a church, we could be a deacon, we can be a so-called minister, and still be destitute of the grace of God. And the most important thing is to have the foundation right. To make sure our foundation is right before we ever begin to build. And may we never be left to build ourselves, but may the Lord be the builder and the finisher of our faith. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Give me, O Lord, a place. Have you ever desired this? That you might be given a place in the house of the Lord? A most humble place, but a place where the Lord will look upon you, where the Lord will consider you, a place where you can come and pour out your heart unto the Lord. And what better place is there upon the earth? That place where the Lord comes to his people. And in the house of the Lord, where the Lord resides. And then to have that desire all the days of your life. Not to go and shut yourself away in a convent or a monastery, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that whenever you're able, whenever you have the strength, whenever the circumstances of this life, you're able to enter into the house of the Lord, to be there, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We were speaking to one of our own people recently, one who comes only once in the week, and he was complaining because he didn't get what he wanted. I said, the things that you want, I said, they're here when you're not at the chapel. I said, we have them on the Sabbath morning, the things that you want, and on the week evening service, but not just the Sunday evening. I said, the things that you want are not available then. You see, if you have a desire, you won't miss a service. There'll be that within your heart. You'll long to be in the habitation, the dwelling of the Lord. That is, if you're able. I know that there are those things which lawfully prevent. And we would be the last to condemn such. But we do know that there are those that they speak about having these desires. And quite honestly, they have not the desire. Otherwise they would be in the house of the Lord, wouldn't they? Now, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. We spoke a little this morning of the beauty of the Lord in his sufferings. And one of the greatest beauties of the Lord can be seen in his forgiveness. He's a God who forgives, a God who pardons, and also he's a God who understands. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our shortcomings. He doesn't condone our sin, of course, but he does understand the power of the tempter. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And there's a beauty in this. This is not a God who is beyond our understanding. There are so many in the world today, they cannot understand us. They cannot understand our religion. They cannot understand those things that we love. But this God, he can understand every one of us, from the youngest to the eldest. And whatever case and whatever condition we take to him, there's a beauty in this that he understands. A sigh divine, or marks a secret groan. I say there's a beauty in this. And then there's a beauty that he's the intercessor. That as we feel to be so far off in our prayers, unable to present our petitions as we would, we see him as an intercessor. One who is able to present our case to the Father in such a way, or in so far better way than ever we could, and in such a way that the Father hears his petitions. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It is sad that so many of the Lord's dear people, and here I'm speaking of the Lord's dear people, not professors, those who have known and those who have realized the power of God and the wisdom of God and the beauty of God, how little they inquire in his temple. How often we are left to follow our own inclinations, our own wisdom. And if I can give you young friends a little advice here, never do it. Never follow your own inclinations. Inquire of the Lord. Ask the Lord the way. Or how the Lord will favor you. How the Lord will, as he has promised, to give you that wisdom. And I believe even those who are not even objects of his choice, if they honor him, he will honor them. And if we are able to inquire of the Lord, we shall see a beauty in this God in answering our inquiries. And another beauty too, it matters not how great the case may be or how small it may be, we can take it to him and inquire of the Lord. So there is a beauty in that. But the greatest beauty is to feel the warmth of his person. The person of the Lord Jesus. To feel the warmth of his presence. You know, there's something very attractive in the warmth of a person that you love. The bodily warmth. And how one finds this with the Lord Jesus. There's something very attractive in the warmth of his presence. And for one to be brought into the realization of it, there's such a warmth. There's such a reality in it. It's not something which we imagine. It's not something that we read about and have heard of. There's the actual warmth of his person felt by the believer as he feels the love of God shed abroad within his heart. As he feels the reality of these things within his heart. And as he's able to inquire of the Lord in his temple. We spoke this morning of his temple being heaven. That place where he resides, where he has risen as a conquering Lord, and where he will eternally reign. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. This word pavilion means tent, and it represents a large tent where in times past sports and all manner of games were carried out. But the pavilion of the Lord is not a place of sport, and it's not a place of games. It is his pavilion. It is the place where the Lord is, a great place where his people are able to obtain pleasure. You see, a place of sport is for pleasure of the flesh. But the pavilion of the Lord is for the pleasures of our souls. And surely this can be considered as the house of God, as a temporary dwelling where the Lord dwells. But also it goes on to speak of the secret of his pavilion, the secret of his tabernacle. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Now in the tabernacle there were no windows, and therefore there was complete darkness. And one could hide in that darkness. And so it is today that none in the tabernacle, having no windows, no natural light, could penetrate into that tabernacle. And therefore, you see, this represents something very beautiful with regard to the things of God. No natural light, no natural understanding can penetrate into the tabernacle of God. Those things which I've been speaking of, you cannot possibly understand unless you have the light of the glorious gospel, the light of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the tabernacle, there was the table, and there was the candlestick, there was the showbread, there was the ark, there were the tables of stone. And all these things were representative and shadows of those things which were to come. Now, you see, the tabernacle was built and erected by Moses, but this is his tabernacle. And no natural light can penetrate, because there's no windows to the outside world in his tabernacle. Now, I say there's something very wonderful and very comforting in this, because if you've seen some beauty in the Lord Jesus, you haven't seen it with a natural light or a natural understanding. If there is a desire within your heart to know more of this Lord Jesus, to know something of him and his beauty, and a desire to, as you come, perhaps the hymn writer puts it better than I can, "Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty see, his majesty adore." You see, if this is your desire, that's not the natural light, because the world are in complete darkness with regard to his beauty. The world are in complete darkness with regard to his love and the warmth of his person. And therefore, there must be spiritual light. Now, you see, it comes from that wonderful candlestick, the golden candlestick, which represents the Lord Jesus. And as that is placed upon the table, there's the showbread. And so you're able to see the bread of life through the light of the Lord Jesus. And these desires which you have for the bread of life are true desires. They are desires which the Lord has given you, and which no natural light has ever penetrated. And then, as one is able to go more and more into the tabernacle, there's some wonderful truths with regard to those things, as there was in the priesthood. I believe we've spoken here at least on one occasion with regard to the golden bell and the pomegranate on the hem of the priest's garment, and the breastplate with the names of the 12 tribes, the two chains of providence and the chain of grace. And so in the tabernacle, everything is represented, and everything is commanded by the Lord, which is necessary and was necessary for true worship. But there was only one thing. Without that candlestick in the tabernacle, nothing could be seen. Nothing could be seen at all. The table couldn't be seen. The showbread couldn't be seen. Nothing could be seen apart from that candlestick being lit. And Moses was commanded to light the candles, and everything had to be touched and covered with anointing oil, sprinkled with anointing oil, and that anointing oil, you see, cleanses and it anoints, and it also signifies kingship. There's a wonderful reality in these things. Now, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. You don't want to hide in forms and ceremonies and all those things which are so hard to the flesh and bring no profit to the soul, do you? You don't go to hide in a convent or a monastery, but to hide in the, to shelter in the side of the Lord Jesus. To be able to come in the time of trouble. Now, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Now there's something, a beauty of the Lord in this, to hide in that pavilion. In this 31st Psalm, which we read, it speaks, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. So that pavilion is the secret of his presence, or his person, from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now the strife of tongues, the child of God has to suffer so much from, and especially the tongue of the tempter, as he tempted the Lord Jesus, if thou be the Son of God. So often he comes to his people. Has the tempter ever come to you like this? If you were a child of God, you wouldn't have these doubts. You wouldn't be in distress about your soul. You wouldn't be in doubt about your religion if you were a child of God. You'd be happy, you would be assured. Ah, but oh, to hide. One said, hide me, O thou Saviour, hide. Till the storm of life be past, safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Now you see, everyone from the youngest here to the eldest knows what trouble is. But the child of God has troubles which are different to the normal troubles of life. One of his chief troubles is this. Is he a hypocrite? Is he deceived? Has he come in the right way? And these are real troubles to him, a real concern to him. And he wonders at times whether all his religion is vain. Well now, first of all, you'll never find a hypocrite that is concerned with regard to his standing. You may feel to be the biggest hypocrite that ever walked the earth. And so does the one before you. And especially as he stands up in the name of the Lord. But to hide in his pavilion, to say, Lord, thou knowest the wretchedness of my heart. But thou knowest that this is not my desire. I would be free from it all. I would be more holy. I would be more Christ-like. I can see a beauty in the Lord Jesus which I don't possess. And this is what I'm seeking after. This is what I want. I want that Christ-like spirit. And it's a concern to me because I don't feel to possess it. And the Word of God says that unless we have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Oh, what a concern this is to the child of God. But it's not to the empty professor, because he feels to have the Christ-like spirit, and he's quite happy in his belief. And then you see, there's this concern as to whether he's deceived or not. Well, rest assured of it. You would never be concerned as to whether you were deceived if you were deceived. There'd be no concern to you. Satan would never bring such a thought to your mind. And these are the thoughts of the tempter's temptations, as he brings them and causes you to doubt. As we said in opening, he tries to confuse you. Tries to tell you that your religion's all in vain, you see. Well now, Satan would never bring these things and these accusations against you if you were not a child of God. We said recently, I can't remember what it was here, could have been. It's a terrible thing to have our prayers answered by Satan. There's so many who say, Satan, as soon as they're brought into temptation, Satan, get behind me. Satan, do this, Satan, do that, and he does it. Well, now, Satan doesn't answer the prayers of the Lord's people. It's the Lord that answers the prayers of, answers their prayers. But so many are pleased because they feel that they have power over Satan. But I say it's a terrible thing to have your prayers answered by Satan. Now, you see, Satan would never answer your prayers if you're a child of God. And if you're concerned with regard to your soul and eternity, Satan would never bring that temptation before you. But what he does is this. He brings these very things to confuse, to try to cause you to doubt, to undermine your faith in the Lord Jesus. And so one is able to hide when all the guilt, all the sin, all the corruption of your heart seem to be against you, and the strife of tongues. And then the Lord Jesus draws near. We read about it this morning, didn't we? Of that one on the Jericho road, how he was robbed, how he was stripped, how he was wounded, and how clearly that typifies the child of God. How he's robbed of his religion, how he's robbed of his faith, how he's stripped of his garments of righteousness, how he lays naked, and then the wounds of the enemy. But what did we read? The Good Samaritan, he came where he was. He felt the warmth, he felt the love of that one, as he took him and bound up his wounds, and he poured in this oil. And it was the same oil that was in the tabernacle, the anointing oil. And that's what we want in the wounds of sin, is the anointing oil of the Lord. Oh, how it heals, how it soothes. And then to bind up our wounds. And then to be carried upon his own beast, taken to the inn, the house of God. There's no better place. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And so he took him to the house of the Lord, you see. And then said to the ministers of the Lord, look after him until I come again, and I will repay thee. Oh, but how we need the Lord to come and show us our interest in these things. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Now we can see some of the troubles coming upon the earth today, can't we? Those things which the word of God testifies. Those evils which will come upon the earth. And how we can clearly see that men are waxing worse and worse. And that troublous times will come. And how they are upon us. But there's going to be that great time of trouble. And some of you young friends, we know not what the future may hold for you, but if the Lord tarries, and if you have the grace of God within your heart, you'll have much to go through. But oh, to have faith in God and be able to hide in his pavilion in the time of trouble. But there is a time of trouble which will come upon all the earth, and that is when the Lord comes again at his second coming. And how clearly the Lord has promised this, and how one is able to see that, naturally speaking, it can't be long. It can't be long before the Lord comes again. But whether it's long or short, the fact remains that the Lord is coming again. He's coming to judge the earth. What will your desires be then? For many will come to him in that great day, and how they will speak of those things which they have done. But there will be a company around him who will be able to speak of what he has done. of what he has done for them, how they have loved him, and how the Lord has drawn nigh unto them, and how he has set them up upon the rock. Now this rock is a sure foundation, the rock Christ Jesus. Do you know anything of this rock? A rock is very solid. A rock is immovable. It's firm. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. To have that sure foundation, the rock, the Lord Jesus. The sum and substance of true religion is this. The Lord Jesus must be the beginning. He must be the end of all true faith. All the outward show, all the ordinances mean nothing. I know not what happened to the old tabernacle. I know not what happened to all those utensils and that which were used in the sacrifices and the altars and so on. They're all gone. There's plenty today who would worship them if they had the opportunity, but they've all gone. And here we have that one true God. They were but types and shadows of those things which were to come. And in the Lord Jesus, there's everything. Those things which were typified in the tabernacle, we see in reality in the Lord Jesus. He's the light. He's the one who has shone within our dark hearts and shown us the evils within. He's the one who has shone upon his word, the bread of life, and revealed to us the hidden truths. If you know anything of the hidden truths and the secrets and those hidden things in the Word of God, the Lord has shone upon it as the light of that candlestick shone upon the showbread. So the Lord shines within the hearts of his people. He also shines upon the Word, and there is this unity, there is this oneness. And then you see, as we spoke of the warmth of the person of the Lord Jesus, there was warmth from those candlesticks. That warmth, you see, would penetrate into the very tabernacle itself. And so the warmth of the reality of the Lord penetrates into the hearts of his dear people. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. You know, sometimes as the Lord's people often are overwhelmed with trouble and grief, there's secret prayer going on, and the world know nothing of it, and the ungodly, how they pray, you see, the ungodly cannot realize that the Lord is hiding them, that the Lord has put a hedge around them, that the Lord is working on their behalf. I remember some years ago, or a year or two ago anyway, an architect had spent more money than he should have done, and how he accused us of paying a contractor money which he was not entitled to. And this was a heavy burden upon us. And as we thought upon this, the case seemed to be so clear against us. And how we had to go to the Lord and tell the Lord that he knew all about it. And a meeting was called. And the very day of the meeting, this man was suddenly struck down and rushed to hospital. And when things were gone into, it was quite clear what had happened. But so few, I doubt whether there's anyone else at that meeting knew what it was to hide in the Lord Jesus. We were assured that whatever took place, our God would protect us. But you may say, well, of course, you were innocent, you had nothing to fear. Oh, not so. You know so much of the tempter, when the tempter comes with his ifs, with his buts, however innocent one may be. But what will it be in the day of judgment, when Satan himself will be judged? When you have to come to this gathering, when everything will be sorted out, your sins, your shortcomings, your unbelief in God, how will things be then? For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The Lord's people will be able to speak of what the Lord has done. The Lord will never be able to condemn them. It'll be a wonderful thing in a time of trouble, as we proved it in times of natural trials, the trials of this world, to have that rock to go to. But in that day of judgment, I know we often fear it, we often tremble as we look to ourselves, but could the Lord say in that day of judgment, "Depart ye cursed, I never knew you," when he's been such a good God to us, when he's known our desires, when he's known our longings, when the Lord has given us a little light upon his word, and when it's been complete darkness to others, when we felt the warmth of his person and the love of his heart, I say, could the Lord truly say that he never knew us? It's a wonderful thing to have any knowledge of this God, and I would much rather have a knowledge of this God than all the outward show, all the ceremonies, all those things which man so much esteems. But to be brought into the true knowledge of the love of God within our heart. Well, now, what do we know by experience of this God? Not what we've learnt in the chapel, what we've been told, what we've been brought up to believe, but what do you know by experience? When have you been brought into trouble, and when have you been able to hide under the shadow of his wings? When have you felt the love of God shed abroad within your heart? When you felt that you went to the Lord with all your sin, and you felt his pardoning love when you saw a beauty in him? Oh, this is what I want more of it. I want to see more of his beauty. I want to feel more of his love. Coming back to our opening remarks this morning, I believe the Lord's people, as they are brought into these experiences, there will be that desire within their heart to depart and be with him. And what is there in this world? What is there even in our best times compared with Christ? In all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. And he prayed that his church might be one with him. Do you ever pray with them numbered? May I be, now and in eternity, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And do you desire to be with his people in eternity? Or may you seek on until you arrive at Zion's hill. We must leave it. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.